You are tuned to WMRW LP Warren, independent as a hog on ice. Freeform, community access radio broadcasting on 94.5 FM, streaming at WMRW.org.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy. And it is time for Amy's Kids Show, episode number 179. And we are going to continue celebrating the 16th President of the United States. In fact, I'm looking at his picture right now. And if you have a penny with you, or a $5 bill, you can look at his face too. There it is, Abraham Lincoln. President Abe, Honest Abe, and as we're going to learn about today, the great emancipator, right? Abraham Lincoln, and all of the amazing things that he did for our country. Wow, he really did care about people, and we're going to learn more about that today, how much he really did care about people. And he spent a lot of time when he was young doing a lot of interesting things, right? He started out on a farm in the woods with his dad and his mom and his sister, and he had to farm and plant the seeds with his dad and plow and take down trees and build his own house. He got so big and strong doing all of those things that he could split 100 rails for fencing. I think it was even 1,000. Oh my goodness. Well, some of these stories about Abe Lincoln might be a little bit of a tall tale, but that's okay. That's okay. Because we're learning about him so that we can be inspired, right? That's the whole point of learning about the people who came before us. And the things that they did, and what it was like to live back then. Wow, back when Abraham Lincoln was growing up, there weren't even any electric lights or running water. I mean, he had to practice writing on the back of a shovel with a piece of coal. Wow. And while he was alive, believe it or not, he saw a lot of amazing inventions come to be. And that's partly probably why he was so interested in thinking. Thinking! I mean, for such a big, strong man, he also had a lot of brain power. He spent a lot of time reading and studying and talking with folks. That's a great way to learn, right? Talking with folks. He loved to do that, and he was really good at it, actually. He was really good at telling jokes and playing with children. Oh my goodness, Abe Lincoln, you inspire me, and I hope that you're inspiring some of our listeners out there, just like you were inspired by George Washington and the Declaration of Independence and all the things that came before you, Abe. Wow, we are just playing it forward here on Amy's Kids Show. Thank you for joining me. Let's get started.
Sing together. scare the children. Spread a little sunshine to start this day off right. I'm gonna spread a little sunshine with my own special light.
Shine my light with my hands I can clap.
With my hands I can clap.
Toes I can tap.
Toes I can tap.
Eyes I can wink.
Eyes I can wink.
Brain I can think.
Brain I can think.
Hands I can shake.
Hands I can shake.
Friends I can make.
Friends I can make.
I'm gonna let my light shine all around. All around. Oh, I'm gonna let my light shine all around. Everybody now, spread a little sunshine to start this day off right. I'm gonna
Who is Abraham Lincoln? Can you guess which president of the United States was a great wrestler? He was so great, in fact, that he is actually honored at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Stumped? Here is one more hint. His face is on the penny and the $5 bill. Any guesses? That is right. It is Abraham Lincoln. Today, we are going to learn more about the 16th President of the United States, President Abraham Lincoln. Let's jump in our pretend time machine and go all the way back to the year 1809. Abraham Lincoln was born in a log cabin in Kentucky on February 12, 1809. Both of his parents could not read or write. He was rarely able to go to school, so he learned things himself by reading books that he could borrow. When Lincoln was 9 years old, his mother died. Later, his father remarried and moved the family to the state of Illinois, where he could work as a carpenter and farmer. In his youth, Lincoln worked as a storekeeper, surveyor, and postmaster. By the age of 25, he was elected to the local government in Springfield, Illinois. While there, Lincoln studied the law and began working as a lawyer. Here is an interesting fact. After Lincoln became a lawyer, he earned one of his famous nicknames, Honest Abe, because of the trustworthy way that he ran his law practice. He married Mary Todd, and they had 4 children together. Lincoln served one term in the U.S. House of Representatives, but failed to be elected to the Senate 2 different times. However, his opposition to the practice of enslavement helped him win the presidential nomination 2 years after his second Senate loss. Want to know something unique about the 1860 presidential race that is pretty different from today? It was actually a 4-way race, meaning that there were 4 main candidates running for president. Lincoln got more votes than any of the others and took office as President of the United States in 1861. 1861 also marked the beginning of the Civil War, which Lincoln tried his best to prevent. Because of the tension between the northern states and the southern states over whether to continue the practice of enslavement, Lincoln allowed it to continue legally in the South, while outlawing it everywhere else, including to future states that may join the Union later on. Southern leaders disagreed with this plan, and so 11 Southern states seceded from the Union and formed the Confederate States of America. The war between the Northern and Southern states lasted for 4 years. In 1863, Lincoln gave one of his most famous speeches, the Gettysburg Address. He also signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which called for the end of enslavement and declared all enslaved people to be free in the eyes of the law. Later, Lincoln crafted the 13th Amendment, which officially abolished enslavement and made it illegal in the United States. Abraham Lincoln had another famous nickname. Any guesses as to what it might be? It was the Great Emancipator. Emancipate means to free. Pretty cool, huh? President Lincoln was re-elected to a second presidential term in 1864, and the Civil War ended less than a year later, on April 9, 1865. Just about a week after people celebrated the end of the Civil War, tragedy struck. President Lincoln was shot on April 14, 1865, by John Wilkes Booth, a man who was supportive of the Confederate cause. Lincoln died the morning of April 15, 1865, becoming the first U.S. president to be assassinated. The nation mourned the death of such a great man, but thankfully, his legacy lives on, even today.
Abe Lincoln was a rail-splitting beast. And if you were a rail-splitter back then, you weren't a pretty boy.
The frontier was a tough place where hard work, a strong mind, and being able to wrestle were needed to survive. And luckily for Abe, he was pretty much the Hulk Hogan of his day.
By the age of 18, Lincoln was working as a shopkeeper, and the owner of the store, his boss, learned of Lincoln's wrestling prowess and decided to turn it into a business opportunity. He began promoting Lincoln locally as this kind of wrestling champion, and it wasn't long before a leader of a local gang decided to take him on. In a fight that has now become legendary, Lincoln came out on top and not only became kind of a wrestling legend, but also earned the respect of this gang of ruffians who became some of his first political followers.
And that actually comes into play, you know, as an adult when he decides to run for office. You have to remember, back in the 1830s, Illinois is the frontier. So in order to impress people, you're not going to do it with fancy words and great speeches. You're going to do it with fighting in some cases. One of the most famous stories of this is Lincoln is giving a campaign speech. In the middle of it, he notices that one of his friends and campaign supporters is getting into a fight with one of the opponent's supporters.
Lincoln strolls off the stage, walks up to the guy who is attacking his friend, lifts him up and throws him out, some say as far as 12 feet.
Then walks back through the crowd, gets back on the podium and continues his speech. Now, the people in the crowd, they didn't hear what he was actually saying. They saw what he did.
Not only did Lincoln's toughness help him fight his way to eventually become commander-in-chief, but it also helped him get inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Well, folks, we are celebrating Abraham Lincoln today on Amy's Kids Show. This is actually the third episode in a row that we have been celebrating Abraham Lincoln because there is just so much to learn about him. I mean, he was a wrestler, apparently, a very good one, very big and strong. He did a lot of different jobs before he became president. And we've been learning about him mainly through this book that I've been reading. We're going to keep reading that today. This book is named Abraham Lincoln, which is a very fitting title. And it was written by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin de Allaire. So let's pick up where we left off here in the story of Abraham Lincoln. And it seems like every time we pause this story so far, he's reading. He just loves to read, right? At first, he would walk miles to borrow books. and he would read them by the fire because his stepmother would let him stay up late reading. And then he would stash them up in the roof above his head, up in the loft where he slept. And that's one of the ways that he got known for being so honest, is when he ruined a book by accident. It got wet up there in the roof. He was willing to work hard to pay back the man who had loaned him the book, to pay back for that book that he had borrowed and had it get ruined. And then the second time we left the story, he was reading law books stretched out on the counter in the store that he was running. And the third and the last time that we took a break last week, he was reading on the floor of his new house with three little boys playing all around him. Because what's happened? Well, he married Mary Todd. And in a few years, they had three noisy little boys who crawled all over Long Abe when he lay reading on the soft carpet in the parlor. So that's where we left him, laying on the carpet in the parlor with his boys playing all around him. Can you just picture that? What a great guy. All right, so here we go. His wife did not like him to lie on the floor, nor to open the door himself when the doorbell rang. Those were wilderness manners, she said. He should sit on a chair when he read, and he should send the maid to the door. For now, he was an important man. All over Illinois, people were talking about what a clever and honest man he was. But it wasn't easy for anyone to change the ways of Abraham Lincoln. He still liked to milk his own cow, tend his own horse, and he was a friend of all the children in town. He was never too tired or too busy to play and joke around with them. Well, one evening, some of his little friends tied a string across the street so high up that everyone in town could pass under it, except for tall Abe Lincoln with his stovepipe hat on. Off flew the hat when he hit the string, and papers scattered in all directions. For instead of using a bag, Abe always stuffed his tall hat with bills and notes and important papers. While Abe stooped to gather them, the boys ran out from their hiding places and threw themselves upon him. They're trying to take Big Abe down. Well, Abe never lost his temper with them. He laughed at their pranks. He had been full of pranks himself when he was little, too. Well, many months each year, Abe spent driving from courthouse to courthouse out on the prairie. One evening, as he drove along a one-track prairie road, huddled up in his shawl, he met a husky fellow in a buggy. They both knew that the one who pulled aside risked getting stuck in the mud. "Give way," cried Abe. "Give way yourself," cried the other man. Well, slowly, Abe rose from his seat. "I'll tell you what I'll do if you don't give way," he shouted in a terrible voice. And as he rose higher and higher till he looked like a giant against the setting sun, "Don't grow any higher," pleaded the husky fellow, and drove right into the mud. As Abe drove by, the man asked in a timid voice, "What is it you would have done to me, sir, if I didn't pull over?" "Well," Abe said, "I would have given way myself." And he chuckled as he helped the man out of the mud. The stranger laughed, too, as the whole prairie laughed. Even the judges had to laugh at when Abe told a joke. So he knows how to get along with people. Even people he's gotten stuck in the mud will still end up laughing at the end, in the end, right? Aw, and then he helped him out. I like that part. "Abe, you can even make a cat laugh," everyone said. The years passed and people began to call him Old Abe. He still did not change. When the people of Illinois sent him to Congress, He walked up Capitol Hill in Washington with his pack of books in a red handkerchief slung over his shoulder. He was himself and did not care or even notice if people smiled. After his term in Congress was over, he came home again to Springfield and hitched his horse to his buggy as before and rattled out over the prairie to faraway courthouses. There, he sat with his feet on the table and seemed to be asleep. But when his turn came, he stretched himself into shape, ruffled his hair, and took off his coat and necktie. Then he began to speak, and everyone listened. There wasn't a man on the wide prairie who hadn't heard of Old Abe. For 15 years, Abe Lincoln was too busy as a lawyer to have time for politics. It seemed as if Mary, after all, hadn't married a man who would be president. Do you guys remember that Mary Todd wanted to marry the man who would become president? And so she had to choose between Abe Lincoln and another gentleman. Now, who was the other suitor that she was choosing between? Let's see here. She had to choose between Abe and another guy. Oh, Judge Douglas. Right, Judge Douglas. And she chose Honest Abe because she had a feeling he would become president. And that is what the fortune teller told him when he was a boy, remember? But sounds like right now he doesn't have any time for politics, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It was actually Judge Douglas who had become a great politician. Ah, so the boy that she did not choose became the great politician. Boy, the heat is on for Abe right now. All this time, there was a great quarrel between the states of the South and the states of the North. "It is wrong to have slaves," said the Northerners. "Let the black slaves go." "Slaves they are, and slaves they shall remain," cried the Southerners. And they talked of leaving the United States and running their part of the country alone. Well, Judge Douglas traveled through Illinois making speeches. He said, "Let each state decide for itself whether it wants slavery or not." Well, this aroused Abraham Lincoln. He stood up and said, "All men are created free and equal. There must be the same freedom in all of the United States," he felt, "for a house divided against itself cannot stand." And wherever Douglas made a speech, Lincoln made a speech against what he said. Ooh, so these two rivals ended up also disagreeing about the slavery issue. So Judge Douglas was saying that the states, each state, should get to decide. So Rhode Island should get to make a decision, and New York should get to make its own decision, and South Carolina should get to make its own decision, and all the states should decide for themselves whether they would have slaves or not. And Lincoln had a different opinion. His opinion was that the entire United States should all be doing the same thing when it comes to slavery, and that there should be none. That's how he felt. No slavery. He wanted to abolish it and emancipate the slaves. That means set them free. Well, this was a big disagreement at the time, and nowadays, kids, there's still that same disagreement over whether states should make certain decisions or whether the whole entire country should make the same decision. Well, from afar, people came over dusty roads to hear the two best talkers of the state. Judge Douglas was elected senator from Illinois, but Old Abe's fame spread all over the United States. Everywhere, people began to wonder if Lincoln wasn't the man to keep the United States together. From the big towns in the East, important men traveled to see him and ask him if he would be willing to let the people vote for him as president. Abraham Lincoln thought it over for a long time. It was so friendly and peaceful on the prairie in Illinois. Did he really want to travel all the way to Washington, D.C. and become the president? But all over the North, people cried, "We want honest old Abe." And at last, he said yes. Late one evening, Lincoln got the message that he had been elected president of the United States. He went home to his wife and said, "Mary, we are elected." And Mary rejoiced. Her dream had come true. The man she had married had been elected president of the United States. Think about this, folks. A boy who grew up in a log cabin, planting seeds and working hard in the fields with his dad. I mean, his mom and dad didn't even know how to read. He was the first one in the family to learn how to read, and he had to basically almost do that by himself because he only went to school for 1 year. He needed to stay home and help his dad on the farm, so he couldn't go to school any longer than that. Wow, and a man like that, right, became president of the United States. So see, anybody can be president. Well, Abe sold his horse and buggy, because he'll no longer be going out on the prairie to visit his lawyer customers, right? And he sold his cow. I guess you can't take the cow to the White House. That's too bad. And made ready to leave his home. And he grew a beard on his chin. He knew he wasn't handsome, and he thought a beard might make him look nicer. Isn't that interesting, folks? He was the first president to have a beard. And the reason why he did it was because he didn't think he was handsome enough. But I'm looking at this $5 bill here. And Abe Lincoln, I think you're a pretty handsome guy. I don't think you needed to worry about anything, right? Besides, people loved him for what he did. They weren't interested in the way he looked. No, but even Abe Lincoln was self-conscious. I think that's really sweet. On a drizzling morning, he tied up his trunks. Those are the things he used to move all of his stuff, right? A big trunk. So he had a bunch of big trunks, I bet, with all of his law books and everything in it, and his clothes. And then, of course, he's got the three children and his wife. They have all their things. So on a drizzling morning, he tied up his trunks. Then he went to the train at the station. He looked at the dear and homey faces of his prairie friends who had come to bid him goodbye. He was sad that he had to go, but the people of this country had called him to be their president. "I bid you all an affectionate farewell," said Lincoln. "Farewell, farewell," cried all his friends. And with his wife and his boys, Abraham Lincoln traveled to the White House in Washington. Wow. And that's where we will leave the story today. I will finish reading it next week so we can hear what happens once he gets to Washington, D.C. And we're going to take a moment to celebrate trains, because in this whole story of Abraham moving from state to state to state with his dad and then on his own, we have not seen him get on a train yet, have we? Interesting. He's had to travel by walking, by riding horses, by using buggies and horses, and of course the flatboat that he brought on the river. That was pretty exciting too, right? That was a very nice way to travel for him after all that time of trudging along on the ground. But trains were fairly new. They only came along while Abraham Lincoln was growing up. And you couldn't go everywhere with a train, only some places. In fact, there was no way to get all the way across the country by train back then, and it was Abraham Lincoln who signed the Transatlantic Pacific Railway plan. That was under him that was built, that a person could actually ride a train all the way from New York to California. He saw a lot of amazing things happen. A lot of big changes happened while he was alive. And that's probably why he was so interested in ideas and why he even came up with an invention of his own. Isn't that amazing? An invention of his own that he got a patent for. So, folks, we're going to learn a little bit about all that stuff. Trains and ideas and patents and inventions. All right, folks, thanks for joining me for Amy's Kids Show as we celebrate the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. You got me thinking.
Born again at last, to rumble over mountains and the plains. From the golden age of steam, an engine seldom seen by those who never lived in bygone days. Big Boy was her name and went on to railroad fame as the largest engine on the UP line. Last of all her class, she survives from out the past to show the power of steam in modern time. Roll on, big boy, roll on, big boy, rumbling across the northern plains. Roll on, big boy, roll on, big boy, climbing up the Wasatch Mountain range. Progress for the time. No dry eye could be found in jungles or in towns where once Big Boy had rolled in her prime. From the junkyards of the past, 4014 is the last to carry on the legacy of steam. At 488 and 4 and a part of railroad lore, roars from out the past like some lost dream. Roll on, big boy, roll on, big boy, rumbling across the northern plains. Roll on, big boy, roll on, big boy, climbing up the Wasatch Mountain range.
I think the first question everybody has is like, well, what did Lincoln know about science and technology? Why did he think it was important? So I'm going to give a little bit of background first. You see the picture there, that's a John Deere steel plow. And during the 1800s, the first half of the 1800s, there was a lot of technological advances going on. And a lot of that was happening on the farm because most people were involved in farming. So the John Deere steel plow came around after Lincoln was off the farm, but he was already, you know, even as a lawyer, he was constantly going a circuit and seeing people on the farm and checking out all this equipment. So he was keeping abreast of all of this. You know, as a little kid, obviously, Lincoln was using a stick to put a row in the sand in the soil and then throwing seeds in it, while his father would probably started off early with a wooden plow board. And then eventually you get to cast iron, and then because cast iron could break on rocks, cast iron with replaceable parts, and eventually to the steel plow, which made a lot of difference, especially in the really mucky soils of Illinois. And later on, of course, you get steam-powered plows and oil-powered plows eventually. In addition to this technological advance with plows, there were things like reapers and there were seeders. There were all sorts of mechanical devices initially. And Lincoln was watching all of this. He was also learning some science. You know, you don't think of frontier farms as having a lot of science, but there actually is. I mean, agronomy is the science of growing things, of crops. And you can't just throw seeds in with soil and just come back in 6 months and you've got a crop. I mean, you've got to know things like hydrology and understand soil nutrition, soil types, how to maintain the soil in proper ways for different crops. So there's a lot of agronomy. There's a lot of hydrology. There's also a lot of forest ecology. You know, when Lincoln went from Kentucky to Indiana, he moved into an area that was unbroken forest. And you can't grow crops in the middle of an unbroken forest, so you have to break it, which means you need to know all about forest ecology, trees, the root, different root systems, the hardwoods versus softwoods, the dry versus wet. Obviously, some trees are nice, tall, and straight, and some are branchy, which comes into play along with civil engineering when you want to build a log cabin so that it doesn't leak either when it rains or when it floods. So there are all these different things he was learning, both through experience, lore from his family, and from a lot of reading. And I talked in the book about all of the science he read over the course of his life. You also saw during this time period, growth of railroads and steam energy. Railroads, like everything else, started in the East and worked its way West. Remember, Illinois, by the time Lincoln got there at 21 years old, 22 years old, was the West. There wasn't much beyond that. Missouri was by that time, but not much more. He also got involved in a lot of patent and technology cases as a lawyer. The most famous one, probably the most important one at least, is this Effie Afton case, which was Effie Afton is a steamship, goes up the Mississippi River, crashes into the very first railroad bridge across the Mississippi River, burns everything down, they can't run railroads, and they sue the railroad and the bridge manufacturer saying it's an obstruction. Well, Lincoln works that case, and I talk more in detail about how he learned all the science and engineering while he was doing this, but also this becomes probably the most important case around because it changes the economy fundamentally. Before that, you got as far as the Mississippi River, everything went on a steamship down to New Orleans. And if you wanted to get to the West Coast, you had to go on back onto a ship, cross the land in Costa Rica, then up a ship to the other side. With railroads, you could now go straight east to west, all the way to the West Coast eventually. And it was Lincoln during his presidency who signed into law the bill to form the Transcontinental Railroad, which I'll mention again in a minute. And then there's telegraphs. Telegraph was actually fairly new by the time Lincoln went to the White House. It was, the first message was 1844, and the Civil War was the very first time telegraphs had been used in wartime. And in a relative sense, it was almost instant communication. In the past, they had virtually no communication. Lincoln understood how to use this technology and understood that the North had a lot of advantages to that. The other thing I'll mention about prior to the Civil War is Lincoln is the only president with a patent. It's for this device. This is a cool model that he has, and you can see there's little bladders underneath this. I talk about it in the book. I go into detail, but here basically it uses a scientific principle called the Archimedes principle, which takes into consideration buoyancy and displacement. And more importantly, Lincoln understood the importance of the patent system. Because when you think about it, that, you know, if you go down to Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home here in Virginia, they'll tell you all about all the things that Jefferson invented or caused to be invented. Things like a clock and a little reading table and a portable desk. But those things really only helped him. They made his life more convenient. And he didn't believe in the patent system because he was rich. He was educated, and he had 600 people that he enslaved that were doing all the labor for him. Lincoln didn't have that. And from Lincoln's perspective, the patent system was critical. Before the patent system, you could invent something, and then Your neighbor could steal it, and that's the end. With the patent system, the inventor now has at least a limited amount of time, 15 years or whatever, exclusive use of that invention, where they could market it. They could commercialize it. They could make money off of it. And this added what Lincoln says, the fuel of interest to the fire of genius and the discovery and production of new things. So the fuel of the fire of genius, of course, that's what I use for the title of the book. That's the innovation, the inventiveness. The fuel of interest was just as important. Through the patent system, you had a financial interest of being able to market it. So instead of just being born rich and having a lot of enslaved people doing all your work, anybody like Lincoln, a farmer, a tradesman, a merchant, they could invent something, they could commercialize it. And Lincoln, you know, showed, hey, I can do that, and he invented this.
On the 22nd of May, 1849, Abraham Lincoln was issued a patent for his invention to lift boats over shoals and other obstructions in a river. As a teenager, the future president had taken a flatboat along the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. After moving to Illinois, he was employed by Denton Offutt, a merchant and the owner of a general store, who asked him to ferry goods along the Mississippi and its tributaries. During these river trips, Lincoln's boats had run aground on more than one occasion, leading to the exhausting process of freeing the boat before it sank or the cargo went overboard. These experiences were to provide the inspiration for his invention. Lincoln is believed to have begun work on his device in 1848, in which adjustable buoyant air chambers attached to the boat could be forced under the water and inflated to float the boat free of the obstruction without the need to unload any of the cargo. He filed an application to the Patent Office on the 10th of March 1849, and patent number 6469 was awarded 2 months later on the 22nd of May. A model of the device is said to have been produced with the assistance of Walter Davis, a mechanic from Springfield in Illinois, although Paul Johnson from the National Museum of American History believes that it may instead have been made in Washington. Whatever the truth behind the creation of the model, this is the furthest that Lincoln's invention ever got, since nobody ever tried to install the system on a full-size boat. The model itself can be seen on display at the Smithsonian Institute and is claimed by the curator of the Marine Collection to be one of the half dozen or so most valuable things in the collection. The invention is also significant in that it makes Abraham Lincoln the only president in the history of the United States to have been awarded a patent.
Mr. Lincoln, who were you? Honest Abe, please tell me true. Why do we remember you? Can you tell me? Long and lanky, really tall, all the way to 6'4". Stern look, strong back, black top hat. Mr. Lincoln, you got me thinking about you rolling history. It's President's Day, so happy birthday from a grateful free country.
1889 when you were born, one room cabin for your home, Kentucky first, and then you moved to Indiana. You walked for miles to borrow books, used your axe for splitting wood, ran a store, went to war, and studied law. Mr. Lincoln, you got me thinking about your role in history. It's President's Day, so happy birthday from a grateful free country. Our president through civil war, our country torn apart for sure. Keep the Union, free the slaves, emancipation. North and South, a deep divide. At Gettysburg, where soldiers died, you called us all to unify United States. Mr. Lincoln, you got me thinking about your role in history. It's President's Day,
happy birthday from a grateful free country. We see your face, it's carved into Mount Rushmore. A marble statue is part of your memorial. You're on our pennies and our $5 bills, and on a ship that serves us still. By 65, the war was won, the Civil War was gone and done. John Wilkes Booth took his gun and killed Abe Lincoln. Greatest of our statesmen gone, his legacy lives on and on, in freedom and equality for you and me. Mr. Lincoln, you got me thinking about you ruling history. It's President's Day, so happy birthday from a grateful free country. Oh, Mr. Lincoln, you got me thinking about you ruling history. It's President's Day, so happy birthday from a grateful free country. From a grateful free country. From a grateful free country.
Here are a couple of more interesting facts about President Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln was taller than any other president. He was 6 feet, 4 inches tall. Sometimes, Honest Abe would keep important papers under the tall black hats he liked to wear, so he would not lose them. At the White House, the Lincoln family would eat dinner with their pet cat seated at the table. Wow, we have traveled back in time and learned a lot of cool facts about the tallest president ever. Let's see what you remember. Fill in the blank. One of Lincoln's most famous speeches is called the blank address. Gettysburg. Name one of President Lincoln's famous nicknames. Honest Abe or the Great Emancipator? Which war happened while Lincoln was president? The Civil War. True or false? The 13th Amendment made enslavement illegal in the United States. True. Nice work, historians. Abraham Lincoln accomplished many things during his short time as President of the United States, which is why he is so respected today. And the things that he supported are still important today. The next time you pick up a penny or visit the Lincoln Memorial, you can remember all of the interesting things you have learned about the 16th President of the United States. And maybe someday, you can stand up for what is right, just like Honest Abe.
Hope you had fun learning with us. Visit us at learnbright.org for thousands of free resources and turnkey solutions for teachers and homeschoolers.
By the firelight, developing his mind. Abe Lincoln. I've got into a muddle, I've got into a mix. I've got a little problem, there's something I need to fix. I'm sure you know that feeling when you don't know what to do. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I have an idea.
She has an idea.
It just popped in my head, I have an idea.
She has an idea.
Do you want to hear my idea?
Hope it's a good one, let's hear your idea.
Flash. It might just fix the problem, so let's give it a bash. If we think outside the box, we could try something new. Cause all of a sudden, out of the blue, I have an idea.
She has an idea.
It just popped in my head, I have an idea.
She has an idea.
Do you want to hear my idea?
What's an idea?
I hope it's a good one.
Let's hear your idea.
I have an idea.
She has an idea.
It just popped into my head. I have an idea.
She has an idea.
Do you want to hear my idea?
Hope it's a good one. Let's hear your idea.
After school, I can tell something's wrong with you. Sitting there looking pretty sad. What happened? This happens from time to time, but I always know that we'll be fine. Cause I know you'll tell me what you did. You honest kid. Trust in you. It's what happens. Then your story comes gushing out. It's all true, I have no doubt. You say you're sorry for what you did.
Folks, we have come to the end of another episode of Amy's Kids Show. Actually, episode number 179, which has been part three of our Abraham Lincoln celebration. And next week we will finish up with part four and the conclusion of the book I've been reading from called Abraham Lincoln by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin du Allaire. And this book that I've been reading from was written 100 years ago. And that was just about 100 years after Abraham Lincoln had lived. And he really appreciated George Washington, who lived 100 years before him. So, see, we're just sort of like paying it forward, folks. We're taking all of those lessons from history and we're bringing them into the present moment so that we can learn. You and me together, I've been learning so much. What about you? You out there, what have you been learning about Abe Lincoln? Huh? What were some things that you did not know about him that you've learned since we started the series? Did you know he was such a great wrestler? Did you know that he had an invention that he had a patent for to help boats get up when they get stuck, right? And where did he come up with that idea? Well, I imagine it had to do with when he was out there on the river and that happened to him. Yeah, what were some of the things that Abe Lincoln liked to do? What would you say? What were some of his favorite hobbies? Well, I noticed that he really liked to read. He really liked to tell jokes and play pranks. He likes playing with kids. He likes learning. He does not mind hard work. But he's also a little shy. Isn't that sweet? He's also a little shy. Kind of like all of us. I know I'm a little shy sometimes. What about you? See, all those traits all were perfect, perfect for what he needed to do to help our country come together. And probably the most important thing was his favorite thing of all, equality, right? The promise of the Declaration of Independence that promised that all men, well, we could say nowadays all people, are created equal, right? He believed in that, and that's what he stood up for. He wasn't satisfied that just some people were free in some of the states. No, he wanted them all to be free in all of the states. And probably all that hard work that he did when he was growing up helped him understand that in order to do that, we were going to need some inventions. We need some inventions like tractors and better plows and engines to help people grow the food on the farms. He was such a smart guy, and so are you. You're the greatest. We'll see you next week.
Spread a little sunshine to start this day off right. I'm gonna spread a little sunshine with my own special light.
Shine my light with my hands I can clap.
My hands I can clap.
Toes I can tap.
Toes I can tap.
Eyes I can wink.
Eyes I can wink.
Brain I can think.
Brain I can think.
Hands I can shake.
Hands I can shake.
Friends I can make.
Friends I can make.
I'm gonna let my light shine all around, all around. Oh, I'm gonna let my light shine all around. Sing together, children.
Spread a little sunshine to start this day off right. I'm gonna spread a little sunshine with my own special light.
Shine my light with my hands I can clap.
With my hands I can clap.
Toes I can tap.
Toes I can tap.
Eyes I can wink.
Eyes I can wink.
Brain I can think.
Brain I can think.
Hands I can shake.
Hands I can shake.
Friends I can make.
Friends I can make.
I'm gonna let my light shine all around, all around.
Oh, I'm gonna let my light shine all around.
Everybody now,
spread a little sunshine to start this day off right.